There is a lot going on with this new SARS-type virus that came out of Wuhan, a large city in China. Urban and suburban areas of Wuhan apparently total around 20 million. The headline out of the South China Morning Post just got it. Wuhan in lockdown as Beijing tries to contain deadly outbreak. It's a little late. But to see a city of, figure it out, 10, 20 million, all public transport in and out of the Chinese city of Wuhan, including trains, buses, and ferries, they haven't stopped automobiles apparently, stopped at 10 a.m. Thursday, Wuhan time, as the central government imposed a quarantine to try to contain the spread of the coronavirus that has killed 17 people and infected hundreds more. Local residents had rushed to railway stations and the airport after the announcement of the lockdown on Wednesday night. The government told residents, do not leave the city without special reasons. And out in front of railway stations, airports, are People's Liberation Army troops, smartly turned out, standing there nearly shoulder to shoulder, and nobody is giving them any grief. Dr. Henry Nyman is back with us tonight. There's much more going on. Henry, thank you for being here. You're riding this race as well as you can. It's a wild one. Go ahead.
It's been keeping me busy, and a couple added notes. We'll get back to the lockdown, but it's not clear that you can get out by car. There are reports that the roads are blocked, and so they don't want you getting out, period.
What I have to that, real quick, medical personnel were stationed at toll gates and checkpoints on major highways to perform checks on people leaving the city. So they're doing temperature checks.
Yeah, so you gotta get a fever check. Yeah.
That's right.
So it's, but, you know, temperature checks.
Take a Tylenol, and you got no temperature.
And they can load up. Yeah, they can load up an hour before, and they can time departures by car pretty easily. And there was a big rush to get out, and the duration is indefinite. They haven't really said that. You know, when this is going to turn around. And this is probably, I mean, all of these things are connected. This is probably related to the fake that they voted on today and didn't come to any resolution. So they're going to be debating it tomorrow and kind of go from there. But, we'll get to the fake and the lockdown if I go through a little bit of some of the developments, which kind of feeds into why all of these things are kind of happening. And one of the issues that's still out there is exactly how bad is it? On the one hand, it's still a little bit new, and it's a new virus. I mean, it's kind of an old virus, but it's a new version of an old virus, and they need a whole new set of tests. And they did the test; they had to sequence the virus, and then once they did that, they made the test, and they got to try out the test, and they got to give it to distribute it, and then the people that get it they have to kind of get used to it. So, there's some excuse for some delays and limiting testing. And the cases have exploded, and it's a little unclear how much of the explosion is due to the fact that the virus is going gangbusters, and how much is due to the fact that they haven't been testing, and the virus has certainly been advancing. Some of the things that came up at the fake, just as an aside, we can get back to those, is, you know, they were still debating whether this is going to human transmission, and they're doing an absurd calculation on the case fatality rate. And so, you know, there's
and this
say,
is
well,
the
we
World
really
Health Organization.
Exactly. Yeah, it was not a, I mean, it was hard to hear because of the microphones, but it was hard to listen to because of what they were saying. So
not inspiring.
It wasn't fun, and I expect there'll be more tomorrow because I thought for sure they would call the fake, and now they're saying, well, you know, the IC stands for international concern, and they're saying, well, there's some cases that are getting out, but you know, it's not clear how bad that is. So I wanted to kind of start there to give you know, the listeners an idea of how bad it is. The idea is that it's sometimes hard to figure out what's going on inside the country based upon what the government says, but you can get an idea by how many people kind of export the virus out to other countries. So when you start picking up people coming out, that gives you a strong indication that there's a major problem inside. And as you recall, there were a couple that were identified that were coming out. One came out and was going to Bangkok and was identified at a fever check. Another was going to Tokyo, and he basically saw a physician once he got there. He had taken medication and got through the fever check. And that led to some to start making estimates that, you know, it was based upon, well, how many people are in the metropolitan area, and how many people actually take international flights. And if you pick up a positive, you know, what is that? You know, is that 1 in 1,000?
Right.
Is that 1
right.
in 10,000? And then you kind of use the population to say how many cases. So they kind of did that initially. They were doing it on just 2, and they were saying that, you know, the ballpark, I think they were using like 1,700 cases plus or minus. So they were talking about between 800 and 4,000 cases there. And, you know, while they were writing this up, there was a third one that the Bangkok came up with the second one. And so they kind of stuck the third one into the introduction, but they left it out of the discussion. So you can kind of see that, you know, they kind of got caught in the increase. And then right after it came out, then, things just started to explode. So, there were the cases that, you know, we've already talked about where it was in South Korea, then Taiwan, it's in the United States, it was in, Japan, I already mentioned, and, it was in Macau. So, these were kind of, additional numbers that all of a sudden it wasn't 2 or 3, it was, you know, 7 or 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And then today it just kept marching on that, you know, one of the suspect results was Hong Kong. Hong Kong is right next to mainland China, shares a border, and you know, they're right next to Guangdong province, and the city they're right next to is Shenzhen. And Shenzhen and Guangdong province have quite a history with SARS, and it's not a big deal to kind of go from you know, Shenzhen to Hong Kong. And and Hong Kong didn't have any cases, and they had, you know, over 100 they had tested. And they had, in many instances, they had picked up something else. You know, they have two cases. They even had a coronavirus, but a mild one, an OC43. And it's kind of wondering whether their test was working. And I think they were wondering how well their test was working. And they were talking about going to kind of get a checkup at Wuhan, and because they had kind of put the test together, the sequencing, they've got a lot of experience actually sequencing coronaviruses, because the lab there, they did a lot of work with looking at that in bats, and they got a BSL-4 lab there, and, you know, they've had issues with avian influenza, and so you know, they should know what they're doing as far as getting sequences and getting the test to work. But Hong Kong was worried that maybe their version wasn't working that well. And that is still a distinct possibility, because this morning they identified their first case. It was a 39-year-old who had come with his family, and by the time they tested him, his family had gone back. And so, so they
went back to where?
To kind of check. I think they were going to Manila. They were gone and not available for testing. And you know, as it turned out, you know, there's a lot of coverage there. So this guy was on TV, and they were rolling him into the hospital, and they had all these guys in hazmat suits around. And they put that up, and I put it up at the site. And by the time I got done putting it up, they had a second case. And so they had a 68-year-old. So all of a sudden, they had two cases within a, you know, maybe it's within an hour or two. And so that raised a red flag that, you know, these 100 cases they had, you know, a significant number of them, they identified something else that was causing the pneumonia, you know, like influenza. But there were other ones that they just were negative on everything, but they were negative on their test. And, it's far from clear as to whether those were all true negatives. But anyway, Hong Kong all of a sudden had two cases where they hadn't had any. And then the national labs in mainland China kind of put out an updated list of the cases in China, and was getting up into the mid 400s now. And they broke it down by province, and they included some of the suspect cases. As I said before, suspect cases is a case that's actually tested positive at the regional level, and just needs confirmation at the national. And so the numbers were going up, and they kind of listed them all. They listed Thailand, and it wasn't two, they had three. And it kind of raised, is there another one that was done in Thailand? In Thailand, you know, you couldn't find anything. So they weren't saying anything. And then this morning they did say something, but they didn't say they had three. They said they had four. So Thailand now is up to four. And then Macau said they got another one, so they're up to two. And so these numbers where they're going up, you know, it's not every day they're going up one or two. It's every day they're going up three or four. And part of it is the testing. The Philippines had a positive, but they didn't have the test. And so they've got a pan coronavirus test that'll pick up some of the older or newly identified milder ones. So,
right.
And those hit children. And this was a 5-year-old. And then yesterday they had two more children, and everybody's kind of suspecting that, you know, they identified three children with these milder versions, and they sent them to Australia for confirmation. But it's not clear whether they're going to come for the positive. But the point is that, you know, the testing isn't quite there yet. And so once everybody's got their new testing kits and are comfortable with them, they may all of a sudden start identifying positives out of the pneumonia cases that they're already identifying. But one of the issues is they're looking at people that are coming from Wuhan. And, you know, Wuhan is clearly the epicenter, at least the known epicenter, and that's where the cases are mounting pretty dramatically. They themselves now are into the mid-400s or so, and then you know, the rest of the country is well above 500. It's about 550 now that have been identified, and there'll be a whole wave of announcements in the next few hours because they're 12 hours ahead. So a lot of times they start early in the morning here, and then they kind of go to noon. And,
we got an increase
and give you
pretty
numbers.
Pretty good bump in Shanghai.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to get to. The some of these other locations now are getting to the level that, at least the reported level, that Wuhan was at, you know, not that many days ago. You know, they were kind of stuck at 41. And then there were rumors that they weren't testing anybody, and that's the reason the number wasn't going up, because they were staying at 41 and the exports were going up. And then they added four more and got up to 45, and then all of a sudden they were added 17. And when they added 17, that seemed to be a big deal. But they had been at 41, they finally went to 45, now all of a sudden they were at 62, so that seemed to be a big jump. And those are numbers that these other cities are getting to. And with Wuhan, they went from, you know, 62 to all of a sudden they got 60 in one day, and they got 70 in a day, and then they got, you know, over 100, and so now they're up to 400 in like a week. They went from 40 to 400.
Yeah. Now, these are double confirmed cases, right? These are double confirmed cases.
Yes. These are confirmed locally as well as the national lab, and they're in the mid-400s. I think there might be at 460. And they'll be doing another update well, around noon our time. But in any event, so they're the numbers of these other locations like Shanghai is now up to 36. Now, that includes, I think, 22 that are suspect, but the fact that they've got 38. So the fact they've got 22 of them as suspect gives you an idea how quickly they're increasing, because those 22 will be confirmed, you know, by tomorrow. Right. You just have to get the national lab to confirm them. And so that's how many they got in their pipeline. So tomorrow they'll have, you know, 38 confirmed, and they might have another 20 or 30. And all of a sudden they're in the 60s or 70s. And nobody's really screening people that are coming there from Shanghai. You know, they're concentrating on Wuhan. And you know, with Wuhan being shut down, I don't know how much they're going to be coming from Wuhan, but, you know, there may very, very well be cases coming from Shanghai. And then there's other indications that things are getting out of control, and that has to do with clusters and onward transmission. And there was one report on the meeting about calling a fake, and they say, well, one of the reasons they haven't done it is, you know, they're acknowledging human to human, but they're saying that it's limited human to human. They got clusters in families,
and
those are people that are you know, in contact for a long time, but they don't really know whether they can go human to human to human. You know, they can go one more step. And they actually said in this article, the article was by Science, so they should know what they're talking about. I said, well, there haven't been any human to human to human. And that's just wrong. I've given an example I give an example of a guy who had gone to Zhejiang, which is up by Shanghai, and he had gotten infected. And so obviously the people in Zhejiang had been infected from Wuhan, so had gone from Wuhan to Zhejiang. And then this guy got infected in Zhejiang, and then he was identified in we call Shandong. So it went from, you know, province-wise, it went from Hubei to Zhejiang to Shandong. So
Beijing could be a very active venue right now for cases, and the Chinese government is not talking about it. They don't want to. They've shut down an urban area of about 20 million people, locked it down. This is really unprecedented. And the WHO will not call a fake at this point? That's pretty amazing.
Well, they're related. And the reason they're related is I'm sure that it's like they've got a 50-50 on the vote. You know, half of the people voting say, of course, you should call it fake. Look at all the problems that are out here. And you've got the other side, which I'm sure would include China, because, you know, they'll restrict movement and trade. So they want to avoid the fake. And I'm sure that they're making the argument, look, there hasn't really been that much outside. The ones that have been identified have been mild cases. There's no super spreaders that have gone out. There's no real super spreaders that have gone, you know, have happened here. And along those lines, let me give you one update. You know, I was talking about the 15 healthcare workers that were infected by one patient.
It was 14. It went up one.
Okay. Four. Actually, I think the final was 15. I think it was 14 nurses and one doctor. But it was 14 or 15. I think it did get to 15. But they did an interview with the mayor of Wuhan, and they said, you know, what's going on here? You got one case that's infecting 15 or 14 healthcare workers. And so that was an unfortunate situation, and that was it wasn't on an infectious disease floor, and it wasn't even on a patient that was supposed to have been in Texas, and it was a neurology department that had done an operation on a patient, and they didn't know the patient was infected.
Oh.
And I don't know what it was. I mean, you're still supposed to, on a surgical suite, you're still supposed to assume that everything can be infected.
Henry. Got to take a break. Okay. That's a very interesting story, operating on an infected patient. That's part of the reason that those 14 or 15 were infected. Interesting. All right. Back in a minute. Hang on. All right. We're back with Dr. Henry Nyman, getting the latest on the viral outbreak, which has spread. I did get a report tonight. Someone mentioned that there was a suspected case in Mexico, but they probably don't have the PCR tests available there yet to confirm or deny any of it. But I did get that from somebody. So that's a possible.
Yeah, there's quite a few that are in that suspect category, and it's unclear, you know, why they don't have results. I mean, there's one in Australia. I think there might be two in Mexico, and so there are a bunch out there that are kind of waiting confirmation. But there's not that much detail on exactly why they're a suspect case. You know, obviously they've got symptoms and they're from Wuhan, but whether they've got some test results that suggest that, you know, whether they've got this pan corona test, and so they know there's some type of coronavirus, or whether that it isn't that far, they just don't have, they're suspect because you know, they fit the criteria to be testing, and they don't really have the test yet. And so that's why I say the part of the reason we're seeing this explosion in cases is some of these tests are just coming online.
They're coming in now, yeah.
But well, it's hard to say, because one thing that was a shock today was that the number of deaths doubled. You know, the number was 9 yesterday, and now it's 17. And you know, that brought up the whole CFR thing again, and you know, people are just doing this absurd calculation where they're, you know, just taking all cases that have been confirmed and putting that in the denominator and putting the deaths in the numerator. And that assumes that everybody confirmed that's alive today is going to get discharged. And there's really no reason to think that. So you got guys that are doing calculations that aren't even up to date. So they're, oh, there's only 6 dead, and oh, no, there's 9.
You're the only person, Henry, the only person I've ever heard say, you can't count these cases up until they are finally resolved. You can't do it. You just can't.
Right. I mean, that's what it's on. I mean, usually they talk about what the case fatality rate was for the indication, because they've got all the results in it. And they can say, well, we had 300 confirmed cases and 30 died, and 10% fatality rate. But when you got 30 died and you got 30 that have been discharged and you still have 250 in the hospital, you can't say that it's 30 over 300.
No.
Because they would all, and that's what happened. I mean, I saw this one guy who was doing the calculation, and he wasn't even using the right numbers. He had a less than 1%, you know. And
this
it was
is
kind
a,
of
a,
like,
a WHO official doing this?
No, this is a PhD who's, you know, basically giving advice.
Oh, I know who you mean. But
he comes up with this low number. I said, yeah, you couldn't do it with SARS in 2003, and you can't do it with this in 2020. And, you know, after I kind of gave him that tweet, they were talking about 3% CFR at the fake conference. You know, they're saying, well, you know, it's not really as bad as SARS, and, you know, it's only got a 3-point-something CFR, and...
Yeah. I was in trouble again, Henry, with those tweets.
There's 17 dead, and the numbers that have been discharged is something like 25. So, you know, it's 17 out of 40, and it's not 17 out of 550. And the reports that come in, they go and they say how many are in critical condition, and they say how many are in severe. And you don't know whether the ones that are still not in either of those conditions are on their way up or on their way down. I mean, some of these are in, and they're going to go into that level, even though they're at the hospital, because there's no real treatment for it. I mean, they can hook you up on a ventilator, you know, kind of oxygenate your blood with a ECMO machine, but they don't really have anything to treat the virus. And if the virus is getting the upper hand, it can be.
Nobody's mentioning Tammy flu at all. Never heard the word.
Well, Tammy, that's because it's for influenza. This isn't an influenza virus. Mm-hmm. It's a coronavirus. So Tammy flu.
The only thing tested against coronaviruses was by Peter Josling in England, when he tested Allison C. He tested it many times on coronaviruses and many other groups of viruses,
yeah,
and it
worked.
Yeah, but
that's in vitro. So,
that's right.
Anyway, the issue is that the patients basically get breathing help if they need it, but cases SARS cases, they had people that were on ventilators for
three
to 4 weeks, and they still died.
Right. There begins to be a point where major organ failure is a problem. It's not just breathing issues or lungs.
Right.
And what causes the liver, the kidneys, and other major organs to begin to fail when you have an infection like this with the coronavirus? What is it about that virus?
Well, it's with any virus. It's your immune system going after the virus. I mean, it's a battle between you and the immune system. And if there's a lot of virus there, while attacking the virus, you start attacking the cells that they're in. And so you're actually attacking your own tissues trying to get the virus under control. And you end up with that type of organ failure. I sent a list. They actually just put out a list on all 17 of the deaths. Mm-hmm. And it's very detailed. So it'll say, it says what hospital they went to and what their lab results were and what mm-hmm. kind of organ failures they had and what type of resuscitation they were given and whether the family said to resuscitate or not, and it's got, they got the last name X'd out, so you don't know who they are, but it's got the age and gender and all the mm-hmm. information, that would be useful reading. You can get an idea of what they're dying from and how long it's taking, and you can see that, they had, I don't remember what the number is, but I think in the last 2 or 3 days, they've had, something like 10 or 11 died. So it's, some of them have been there for a while, but some of them have not been there that long. And that kind of goes to what's out there. And unfortunately, I think that they've had a reasonable number of deaths before they were testing. And, I saw somebody tweeted about this, professor who it didn't sound like he was retired. So I'm guessing he was in his 50s and 60s or 60s. And he had pneumonia and he died, on the 10th. And his wife had pneumonia and she died on the 15th. And so, when you had a husband and wife that both get pneumonia and they both die within 5 days of each other, and they're both in Wuhan. Uh-huh. It's very likely that they were both infected, and they both died, and they were never tested, and so they're not in those 17, and they're probably not alone. The number that have already died from this virus is probably significantly above that, and the numbers that are in critical condition but have not been tested, have results pending, there's probably a significant number of those. And that's why, the number of deaths can go up pretty dramatically, and why, these arguments that the CFR is significantly less than SARS is just nonsense. So they don't know how to do the math, so that's part of the reason they haven't declared a fake. They don't have a clue what they have. And then they said, China's cooperating, and they're going to give us disaggregated data. So, instead of just knowing the totals, they can have individual and see what's going on with those individuals. Mm-hmm. But they can see what's going on with the individuals with what's already been released by these independent local labs. And the data from the local labs is starting to get alarming. And one example is getting back to Guangdong province and Shenzhen. They just did the update, and they're up to 32 cases now in Guangdong, and they're all confirmed. Then they kind of
and that
put it
Guangdong
aside.
Is not in lockdown. We should mention, all right?
No, they're not in lockdown.
No.
And they
they're
said
just fever scan.
And, And no, they're not even fever scanning. No, they're fever scanning Wuhan. That's it. They're not. Uh-oh. They're not paying attention to these other cities.
We're doing three airports in America are fever scanning.
Right. Three. Well, it's going up to five, but five. They're adding Atlanta and Chicago.
More machines.
But okay. Here, let's get back to my favorite area from SARS is Guangdong Province in Shenzhen, which is right next to Hong Kong. And they just put out the report. It's public. Anybody that's got internet access can read it. Well, you have the machine translate. It's in Chinese, but you just go to Google Translate, copy and paste. It'll tell you what it said. And what it said is that of those 32 confirmed cases, 17 of them are, guess what?
Go ahead.
They're in clusters. They're in clusters.
All clusters.
So they've got six clusters involving 17 cases, and so more than half of their cases are in,
no human to human
are in clusters. Now they say, well, they're all family. Okay, so that's one shoe to drop, and the other shoe that dropped actually dropped today, and part of their efforts to avoid the fake is to say we're being open and we're giving up-to-date information and we're not hiding anything, and you know, doing the fake isn't really going to make any difference because we're going to take care of this and we're going to be transparent, and you know, we're going to shut down this city of 19 million to kind of keep things under control. And and so they released tick sequences from Guangdong Province, and five of the six sequences were from clusters. There was one cluster of three in Shenzhen, and there was one cluster of two in another town. I can't think of the name. And you can see the sequences. And you can take a look at the sequences. And so I spent the afternoon looking at the sequences. And, you know, you kind of expect that if there was a mutation and it's a cluster, that all of the members of the cluster would have the mutation. And the cluster of three did have a mutation, and they all did have the, and they all had it. So that's kind of as expected. But what was a bit intriguing about the result is that the mutation was in the open reading frame number 8. And some of your listeners might ring a bell. I actually mentioned it yesterday before I saw the sequence. And the reason I mentioned it is ORF 8 is where that 29 nucleotide deletion was. That was right in the Metropole Hotel that kind of went in and made the virus more lethal and made the virus transmit more easily. And that's why all the international cases have that same mutation. And so the role of the ORF8, it appears to be something with how quickly the virus can replicate or how well it can adapt. And so that is an open reading frame that it's worth looking at. Now, the other thing that's interesting about ORF8 is its acquisition by recombination. And there were papers that came out on the SARS sequence, and they said, well, you know, it's related to the virus that's in bats, but the virus that is mostly related to in bats really isn't that close in ORF8. ORF8 was only like 30% identical, which is very low. And they say, but they found another coronavirus in the same species. These are these horseshoe bats, the same species of bat. And that one had an ORF8 that was almost identical. It was over 90%. identical to the SARS. And they said, you know, that was the recombination, that the SARS virus had an ORF from one version of the coronavirus, and had the rest of the gene from another version of the coronavirus. So it had acquired a different ORF, and that was another reason that ORF 8, and there is another reason you think that ORF 8 may be part of the process of getting the virus out of a bat and into a human and have it adapt. It might have been a civet cat. And when I first looked at these sequences that came out, that is one of the things that stood out was that if you look, especially if you looked at the protein level, that there were only six differences between the virus that in people now and the sequence of the virus that was in Nanjing that was most closely related. It was closely related, but it was very related in ORF8. And so it looks like it did the same thing. It did recombination and came up with an ORF8 that was a little bit different than the rest of the virus that is most closely related to, and it picked up an ORF8 that's even closer. And now these three people in the cluster, they've got a mutation in the ORF8. And so they raise a concern that the virus is evolving, and
how else could you read it? I agree. Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see if additional cluster sequences are released, and there's certainly additional cases there because they've released data from five, and they've already acknowledged that there's 17 that are that category of clusters. So that result kind of raises the possibility. And if you look at some of the reports that have come out, they say, well, the virus back in 2002, 2003 started out at a lower rate, and then there was a mutation, and it adapted, and it was able to transmit more efficiently, and it caused more damage. It spread, and there were more super spreaders, and it essentially took off, and it had a higher case fatality rate because, you know, there were only five deaths out of the first 300, so the case fatality rate was around one or so, and ended up one and a half, and it ended up at 10, and it really was over 10. The reason it was, I mean, the two reasons it was 10 was in Taiwan, they classified patients as SARS-like, and they cremated them as soon as they died, and they never tested them. So they had all these SARS cases that were never classified as a SARS case.
They just
case.
Called them like. I get it.
SARS-like, and then they died. And the case fatality rate for the SARS-like cases was higher than the case fatality rate for the SARS cases. And I remember saying that, you know, I was doing commentaries then very regularly. And I'd say, well, why would the SARS-like cases have a higher case fatality rate than SARS cases? What is SARS-like? And they did that regularly. I think about half of their cases, half of their fatalities were SARS-like because it was high. I mean, had classified as SARS-like, that wasn't a good classification. That indicated that you were very ill, and they knew there was a very good chance that you were not going to survive, and you were going to make their number of cases look bad, and the case fatality rate look bad. And so they just said, I don't know what they are. We didn't get a chance to test them. They died before we did any testing. But at any event, that brought the case fatality rate down because they just excluded deaths. And And the other thing that brought it down is at the very end, all of a sudden, there were all these cases in northern China, you know, away from Hong Kong. And I mean, they were spread throughout the country. And they were younger people, and generally the younger people, you know, didn't die. They might end up in the hospital, and they might even end up on an ECMO machine, but they survived. And all of a sudden, these milder cases got tacked on at the end. So the number of cases went up dramatically, and the deaths didn't change much at all. And I don't remember how high it was. It was probably 13-14%, and all of a sudden it got down below 10. And it was almost like you did a calculation. Now, how many do we need to get the denominator high enough so that we can get it below 10? So it ended up at 9.5 or something. But that wasn't that real of a number, because MERS has a case fatality rate around 35%.
Right.
But in any event, you know, the current situation is the case fatality rate, as we said yesterday, is well in the double digits. And whether it's going to go down dramatically or not is unclear, because it's not clear how many seriously ill people are out there that haven't been tested, or they don't have the results yet. And the fact that the number of deaths doubled is an indication of what there is to come. And so that's kind of where we stand. Things are getting out of control. The fake, they're going to decide whether they're going to call that or not. But the clusters are going up, and they are not targeting these other big cities where they're well into they're over the double digits. They're in the 30s, and they'll be in the 50s by this weekend. And they might even get up to 100, and that's not who they're focusing on. So I'll keep you posted. There'll be
thank you. Well, we're set up for tomorrow night. We'll, as you say, it's morning over there now, and they'll start to begin releasing new data. And so by the end of the day tomorrow, we'll have a whole new set of statistics to work with, I'm sure. Thank you, Henry. Yeah. Stay with it. I know you will. Okay,
good
night.
Talk to you tomorrow. Okay, goodbye.
All right. Dr. Henry Nyman, one of the world's foremost neurologists, and you won't get any better information than you're getting right here. Thank you for being here. We'll be with you tomorrow night. Take care. Talk to you then.